Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Benissimo, bravo, sempre lucido anche al novantesimo. Keita lo attaccano in due, cerca la palla dentro, il velo, il tiro, Lautaro, gol! Attenzione, palla dentro per Lautaro. Lautaro, il tiro, e gol, e gol, e gol, e gol, e gol. Il Toro, il Toro, il Toro, il Toro, il Toro.
And welcome to another episode of Serpents of Inter podcast. I'm Matt Clark, site manager for Serpents of Matadena, and with me Sam Poor from Sweden. Sam, welcome.
Hello, everyone.
I was worried about cold, and I know you face that on a regular basis. It's cold where I'm at in South Carolina, which is just brutal considering how we're not really used to it. But it is what it is, and I apologize ahead of time as I'm fighting what I'm hoping is a cold and not anything worse. So Sam, let's dive right in. Lots to go over. First off, big match tomorrow. With Inter taking on Eintracht Frankfurt, Diadler, as they are called in the Bundesliga.
Yes, sir.
Very, very dangerous team. I was doing a lot of research on them, and I'm telling you what, this team, I'm surprised they are where they are in the Bundesliga with as good as they potentially can be. They're fifth in the Bundesliga, 3 points back of Borussia Mönchengladbach. Yes. I pronounced that right.
Correct.
And just 5 points back of third place Leipzig. And this is a team that has all the potential to give anyone absolute fits. If you want to talk about two teams that are probably amongst the favorites to win the Europa League, you've got Inter, and then you clearly have got to include Eintracht Frankfurt, because they are, I don't want to overstate it, but they are very, very good.
I would say the reason that they are fifth is because they have a very good offense. Like they go forward very, very, very hard, but they can be some question marks on their defense side. So I think this is the type of team that can suit Inter very well. You know, you just play tight and low, and you just counterattack them and make them suffer on that. But One other thing that just came out is that one of the key offensive players, Ante Rebic, is out due to injury, and that's
that's
actually a very good thing for us. But I think all in all, you're correct in that statement, because they are very dangerous. They go forward and they go fast and they go hard, and they have the players to do so. And actually, their forward is actually have exploded this season, so his market value is very high right now, and so it's going to be a very interesting game to see how Spalletti is going to address this type of game. And plus, Nainggolan is out, so hopefully Keita Balde gets to start. But I'm very curious to see how Spalletti is going to act towards Eintracht now that we are playing the first game away.
I'll tell you, here's a few things that I picked up, and this will be covered in our preview that will come out a little bit later. You were right, Ante Rebic is out with a knee injury. Timothy Chandler, defender, is out. He's been out all season, so that's not really a big loss. Gelson Fernandez, their midfielder, could return to the lineup. He's been out for a bit, but probably if he comes in, it'll be on the, off the bench. But I'm going to tell you what, the impressive part of this team to me is Sebastian Haller. He's got 12 goals in the Bundesliga, third best this season, 9 assists in the Bundesliga, second best. I was looking just at some statistics. And he Haller is a threat both in duels and aerials, as he leads both categories in the Bundesliga. Wow. This guy leads in duels and aerials one in the Bundesliga.
So he's an engine. Bundesliga,
he is a machine. He is just unbelievable. You know, that Philip Kostic, who is who will also get the start in midfield, most likely leads the Bundesliga. 100 crosses from open play. This guy can essentially pick out his target when he's open. So,
that's
you know, I think they've got 47 goals in the Bundesliga, tied for second with Hoffenheim, and that's just on 284 shots.
How many goals have they conceded? Do you see that?
I believe they conceded 33.
Okay, that's my point, because they do concede a lot, but they do score a lot as well.
Yeah, and that's kind of indicative. Kevin Trapp, their goalkeeper, he's saved 82 shots, which means their defense opens up like floodgates.
Yeah, exactly.
What they've been able to do is they've just been able to outscore opponents, not necessarily stop them.
Exactly.
They had a thrilling win against Hoffenheim over the weekend, where they came down. They were down 2-1 and came back in a 1-3-2. You know, again, they're dangerous, but they're not necessarily consistent. You know, in their last 11 matches, Frankfurt's drawn 5 of them. Wow. But they haven't lost a match since January 12th, when they had an exhibition with Flamengo in Brazil, I believe. It was a 1-0 defeat. They haven't lost since then.
So
they're Europa League.
So hold on. So you're telling me that they have only drawn in one from that point on till now?
In their last 11 matches, they've drawn in 5 of them.
Oh, okay.
So they've drawn close to half of their matches, and they've won 6. They've moved up the table rather nicely, and their Europa League record is darn near impeccable. All 4 of their home matches have been wins, and that includes a ritualistic smacking down of Lazio in the group stage, 4-1 at the Commerzbank Arena in Frankfurt. So this is a team that is going to present challenge upon challenge upon challenge. Fortunately, defensively, Inter defensively on Inter side of the ball. Inter's not going to be losing a whole lot. I think you're gonna see Danilo D'Ambrosio get the start along with Skriniar, Guy, and Asamoah.
I think so.
You know, a big problem here is the injury to Raja Nainggolan, who is probably going to be out not just this match, but probably against Spal over the weekend. But, honestly, I think this opens up something nicely for Andrea Ranocchia. I think this could be a potential for the Frog, as he's called.
Yeah, and you need a target, because here's the thing. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about some certain things, because what those stats actually tell me is that tactically, you know, the way they play, they're going to go against a big Italian team now. So tactically, they might not be ready for the type of cynical aspect Inter might bring to this. So, you know, we have a very good defense. So what I think might happen is that, you know, Spalletti goes out and he just tells the lads that, you know, just shut it down. So what will happen, I think, is that they might get more and more frustrated, and we would just, you know, punish them as soon as because if they leak that much in their defensive aspect of the defensive side, I think that when you said that Ranocchia might play, you know, put him as our target player, just you know, get it fast and get it up and let him hold it, and you know, you just push up through the flanks and counterattack them.
And I'm really kind of interested to see how this attacking midfield plays, because you're looking at, you've got Matteo Politano, you'll probably put Ranocchia in the center, and then Perisic on the left. And that, to me, is a very interesting attacking formation. It's something that we've seen sporadically only through substitution. We know Ranocchia has the ability. He had a goal against Rapid Vienna. I think he's got the potential to do very good things. And again, this opens up a nice door for him. Probably sit back with Marcelo Brozovic and Matias Vecino back in the defensive side of the midfield, which I think could be nice, because to counteract the speed that Frankfurt is going to bring, you're going to have to split the midfield up, and you're going to have probably your better midfielders sit in the back.
Go ahead.
Well, I think you're about ready to bring up Borja Valero.
I think he's going to start. I don't think he's going to start Ranocchia. I actually think that he's going to probably start Martinez. He probably going to start Politano and Perisic. I don't think Keita Balde might get too many minutes in this game. And he's probably going to start with Brozovic and Vecino and Borja Valero. I think one of the key things in this game is that if Brozovic and Borja can control the passing pace and the way that they pass, I think that Frankfurt has, can have a lot of problems, because what they would try to do, I will say, is they're going to go on sixth gear pretty much from the first second and try just to end that, you know, with putting in goal after goal. So I actually think that we will actually draw this game, or we will probably win this game. I don't know. I have my gut feeling tells me that they will try to attack very hard, but they're going to, I don't think it's going to work out too good for Frankfurt, but that's my honest and humble opinion.
I think the key thing here is, because Frankfurt pushes the ball so quickly and because they are so fast on the attack, this presents a nice opportunity for a counterattack option for Inter. But the thing is they're going to have to be on their game. Martinez is going to have to pay attention. He's going to have to understand where the ball is. Perisic, Politano, and Ranocchia or Borja Valero are going to have to know exactly where to pick them out, pick out the attacking front, whether it's finding Perisic on the wing, whether it's finding Politano on the wing, whether it's passing forward to Martinez. They're going to have to be aggressive with the counterattack, because that's how you can beat a team that plays this style of football, is that you get them, they'll attack. You're not going to be able to stop that. But our defense is good enough and physical enough that I think that we can put enough between their attack, like Haller and Samir Handanovic. So when that said, when they're pushing forward with 3, 4, maybe even 5 players, that presents a great opportunity for a nice counterattack if Inter can play smart in terms of passing. This has been a problem that Inter has faced over the last couple matches. Maybe not so much against Cagliari and not really against Fiorentina, but we saw spells there where Inter just could not hit the broad side of a barn when they were passing. They obviously were colorblind and could not tell what jersey they were supposed to be passing to. Here, it's got to be very clear, and that's got to be the message, is that there's got to be a very strong counterattack for Inter to thwart the potential, because this Frankfurt defense, you're right, is very susceptible to being attacked.
All I have
the
to
problem
say
is, as I we do that best off the counterattack in this match.
What I want to say is that, you know, have your eyes on Skriniar and the way he moves. Second of all, I hope that Spalletti doesn't go on with his 4-2-3-1 and he actually plays a flat 4-3-3. And what I mean with that is that he actually puts Brozovic in the center and puts Borja and Vecino on each side of him, so they can basically move organically in a way they want, and you put two very wide players, because in that way, when you counterattack them, you have three central midfielders that are a little bit closer to each other, because what you want to do is you want to have that momentum and that control, because you don't want them to keep on pushing and pushing and pushing. You actually want to have some type of control. So I hope that Spalletti actually does, tweak it a little bit, maybe, and
I actually think that's a good idea. I really do. I mean, I fully expect a 4-2-3-1 or something of that nature for Spalletti. But I think if you look at it, a 4-3-3, when you're looking at counterattacking options like this and trying to not only win the midfield but also be able to counter back quickly in defense with as fast as this team moves, a 4-3-3. Actually doesn't make too bad a sense. No. That actually is a good idea. Whether Spalletti does it or not, who knows? Who knows what he's going to have, what he has up his sleeve. The fact is this, is not only do we have to worry about Frankfurt's speed, but we have to worry about only fielding 19 players for a Europa League match on the road in Germany. So, that is a problem in and of itself. The fact that there are 19 players on the roster to make the trip to Frankfurt, and that's it. And that's not, I am not happy with that at all. I mean, I get it. I'm not going to sit here and blame Rajan Nainggolan for the, well, you're injured, way to go. But, and, or, you know, Jao Mario and Roberto Gagliardini for not being eligible to play. But, you know, I still think that's just a really tough spot, with a team like Frankfurt to be in, to have just a very limited bench.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Let's say, we beat Frankfurt in these two games and we move on to the next game. And Icardi, mm-hmm. Icardi decides that now he wants to play all of a sudden, right? So
yeah.
the question here is that, and to be you know, to add to that is that Martinez is the reason that we actually beat Frankfurt, right? So he's the reason that we actually move forward. So would you put Icardi in front of Martinez in this cup, or would you continue to play Martinez due to the fact that he actually stood up and actually carried the weight that Icardi actually left?
You know, I think Spalletti, as is kind of traditional, and I think this is probably natural of most Italian coaches and most European coaches, is that if a player comes off of being injured, and I use air quotes with injury and Mauro Icardi right now, you know, they play limitedly. So I would expect that Martinez is going to probably start, with Icardi possibly coming off the bench, because I think that makes sense. If Icardi is truly injured, and we'll talk more about that later, then you don't want to rush him back out onto the pitch. Spalletti didn't do it with Nainggolan. He hasn't done it with, he was not going to do it with Keita Balde. It's going to be an easing process where you're going to come in, you maybe play the last 20, 15, you know, maybe 30 minutes of the match and start building up your legs, get them underneath you, work on it in training to eventually you get to a point to where you're starting. So no, I think Martinez is going to start. And I think he's going to start for the next couple of weeks, at least, you know, regardless of whether Inter advances in the Europa League or not. I think just sheer planning and sheer caution tells you that Martinez is going to start, for a while, in terms of when they bring back Icardi, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. So
with that being said, let's just say that he's fully fit now, Icardi, right? And Martinez Do you think would you bench Martinez after he's been so vital and such a vocal point for the team, with, you know, Icardi, everything that was Icardi game?
No, not at all. No, I don't bench Martinez. I augment my style and I put Icardi and Martinez in together. And maybe look at something like that. You know, there's a lot of question early on over whether Martinez and Icardi could play together. And I think they can. You know, Martinez has. Yeah, I think Icardi has. Icardi is a poacher and he's not mobile outside of the area, whereas Martinez is. So I think they complement each other in an attacking style that way. Whether that's the most conducive style for Inter to play, I don't know. And if that's the case, what do you do? Do you basically just have four midfielders and play a 4-2-2-2? You know, how does that look? I don't know. Honestly, our midfield is so suspect at this point that having two attacking and two defending midfielders probably isn't going to hurt us any or help us any either way. Exactly. But I think if and when Icardi is fit and decides he does want to play, and if he actually does make it back on the pitch, I think Martinez has done quite a bit to earn a spot here. And now is he the answer to our attacking problems? No, not by any stretch. He's still young. He's still learning. I think with time, I think he can be extremely dangerous. And I think he's starting to develop that now as he goes along.
You know, you said something that I really liked. And the thing was that with Martinez, we have actually played a little bit more centralized and not from the wingers all the time because of Martinez's movement. And I think that's extremely good for us because now we can add a thing to our attacking scenarios or the way we attack, because
before, you know, with Icardi, you know, being that Icardi is an extremely good finisher and a poacher, whatever you want to call it, you know, he's probably one of the top three best strikers inside of the penalty box. And he actually has shown indication of being a good passer as well and being able to play that too. That's because he has great talent. But with Martinez and his type, the way he moves, he feels a little bit more complete in a sense. He feels a little bit more like a Dybala and Icardi meets, you know, and makes a love child in a way.
I'm going to have that image in my head the rest of the night. And I think that's the point. I think the thing is that that's what Martinez brings to the pitch that Icardi doesn't, and that is mobility. It's not that Icardi just sits still, but let's be honest, Icardi just sits still, and then his action is within the penalty area. If it's outside that area, then Icardi's kind of either nowhere to be found or doesn't really move around with the ball much, and that's just not his thing, and that's fine. I mean, that's okay. Totally, that's fine. I think everyone knows that. So, Sam, let's take a quick break, real quick, and I have a few messages from our folks at SB Nation. And then when we come back, we'll talk more. We actually have a listener question that I want to get to. We can talk about that. Again, Eintracht Frankfurt is coming up on Thursday. That'll be a 12:55 kickoff here on the East Coast, 17:55 local time in Germany. So that'll be very, very exciting. We'll have our preview up shortly tonight, so you can check that out and find out how you can watch it. But when we come back, we'll talk much, much more. It's Matt and Sam right here on the Serpents of Inter podcast.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And welcome back here to the Serpents of Inter podcast. Matt Clark, Sam Poor in with you today. We've talked quite a bit about Eintracht Frankfurt and Thursday's Europa League match. Very big, very crucial match for Inter. Sam says a draw or a win for Inter. So and he's done pretty well in terms of narrowing down that scoreline. So you know, again, you can. How many goals do you think in this one? Just for those who are interested in the over under.
10 goals. No, I'm just kidding. First of all, I'm very biased when it comes to Inter. So. So obviously, but I think that, I don't know, maybe it's hard.
3-4? Five?
No. I'm thinking 2-3. That's
2-3? Okay.
Yeah, that's
so, hard. So the over under is the over under is at 3 on this one. So take that one to Vegas and or wherever your betting choice happens to be. Now, before we get into anything regarding Mauro Icardi or anything like that, I did actually get a question to talk about here for part of a segment, and someone on the site actually asked about what our thoughts were in terms of what loan players Inter should try to redeem this summer, and I think that's a really really good question.
Absolutely.
And Peter, thank you for that. I appreciate that. We've got Keita Balde, we've got Matteo Politano, we've got Sime Vrsaljko, Cedric Suarez. Those are the ones that I can think of. I can't think of any others that we have to worry about any redemption. So you've got those four players. So let's start number one, Keita Balde. Is he redeemable? Does Inter try to redeem and keep him or send him back? Okay.
I hope so because of death. Two reasons. First of all, he can play basically in all offensive positions. Maybe not the number 10 role in Trequartista, but he can play on the wings and he can play as a number 9 as well. So I would redeem him because he has a lot of potential. He's very fast and he's strong and he's very young and he's very versatile. So with that, you know, you can put him. I don't like players that have too many positions. I think that's weird because I think that you should stick to something and, you know, be good at that. But I think that, you know, him being a left winger, that's his position, but he has the potential to play other positions as well. So because of that, because of that and the quality and the potential, I will keep Keita Balde.
And I agree. I think for the price that he was redeemed at, and I can't remember off the top of my head what it is, but I think it's fairly bargain. It's not a massive amount.
I think 35 or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, I don't think that's too much to ask. My only concern here is that, you know, between injury and other issues, I just haven't seen it yet. I mean, I think he's got a ton of potential. I just don't think anyone's seen it. I mean, he had a brace in a match, but and that's fine. But other than that, I haven't seen the productivity potential, and I think that's my biggest concern with Keita Balde in terms of well, first off, time on the pitch is one, and two.
Can I just add something? I'm sorry.
Sure. Yeah. No.
When it comes to young players and you know some small injuries here and there, that's okay because that's something that some players have, and we with age and you know with continuity to play, you know, those things usually go away. So I'm not too worried about that because he hasn't had any serious injuries. And if you look at his physique, he's very strong and very well grown. So I think that the injuries that come is because of the fact that he's not that old yet, and he's not that seasoned yet. So he doesn't have that grainy old muscle in a sense, if I may say that. So some of those injuries that some of these players have in a young age, you know, they go away with time. So it's nothing that sticks, you know. And some players are very injury prone when they're younger, and all of a sudden they don't get injured at all. So you know, it's a give and take in a sense. So in the injury case, I'm not so worried about say Keita Balde, because if you look at the guy, he's fully grown and he has a great physique.
All right, so Keita is a yes. Now this one to me is a no brainer, and that is Matteo Politano. It's a yes regardless. I don't care. I mean, unless it is some outrageous sum, I think Matteo Politano, they should be writing the check right now to redeem him, because
I don't even think that we have an option. That I think it's obligation to buy. I think that,
and I'm happy for that. I think that's a good bet. It was a good bet. It was a good deal. It was one of those things where, you know, you have the obligation to buy if that's the case, and it works out. So kudos there. So what he's brought to the team, his speed, his versatility, his ability to maneuver off the wing, to come in and be dangerous. I think all the way around, Matteo Politano is a keep. Next is Simi Vrsaljko, from Atletico Madrid. And this is a no. I think, you know, his injuries, I don't think he's impressed anyone in his time, albeit short. And I get the injury is a big deal with that, but typically when you suffer that kind of an injury, there's no chance you're going to get redeemed anyway, just because it's a big risk. I think it might have been, besides the price, it might have been one of the factors why Rafinha might not have been redeemed last summer.
Exactly.
Because the injuries were a concern, albeit Rafinha would have been a great player. But
yeah,
you know, I think Vrsaljko was a nice idea. It was just a nice idea that didn't work.
And lastly,
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you suffer that kind of an injury, and you know, you don't know what you're going to come back to after that.
Can I just ask something?
Yeah. You don't have to ask. You just drop in.
When it comes to Politano, it's quite interesting because in Sweden, it's a bit people don't like him too much, because some people may say that he's a one-hit pony in a sense, because he always drift left, because he's left-footed and plays on the right side. But I'm with you on that. I actually think that he adds value to the team, and he does. He's a better version of Candreva in a good sense. So he has a lot to offer. Plus, he has a good pace, and I like that in a winger. You know, he can run a lot. In terms of Vrsaljko, I think that his biggest problem was that due to the Croatian national team going so far in the World Cup, plus that he has a history of being a bit injury prone, I think that ship has sailed, man. I don't think that Vrsaljko, regardless of he getting back or not, I don't think that Inter is even considering to redeem that.
I think a possibility is if he comes back, he's healthy, maybe another loan spell, Perhaps, but I think for the price that we'd have to pay for him, yeah. I just don't think it's worth it. Now, this one's kind of, this was kind of a tough one for me, just because I know that the club is likely not going to redeem Cedric Suarez from Southampton.
No,
they should have. And it's true, but I think, you know, this is a young kid who is probably going to be looking for a home at the end of the season, because I'm not really sure with the status of Southampton if Suarez fits into the system they're going to have with whoever their coach happens to be next season. That said, I think because Inter has built up such a physical defensive back set with Skriniar, with De Vrij, with Asamoah, and with D'Ambrosio, I just don't think that Suarez fits that. I don't think it's because he can't play. I don't think it's because he can't fit the system. I just don't think he fits the defensive back set that we have.
I just don't think he's good enough, to be frankly honest. At this point, I understand if they want to redeem Keita Balde and Politano, but when it comes to, like, especially fullbacks, because we have had a few years now of history of, you know, we had all of the shitloads of fullbacks that were totally shit, and all of a sudden we get Cancelo, we use him for 6 months, and he becomes the best right back in the world, and we don't redeem him. Sure, you know, financial fair play and all that, fine. But I think that if they want to redeem or buy a fullback, you know, they shouldn't buy one just to have one. They should really take their time and pick. If they don't find a good enough fullback, you know, someone that is a bit more complete, I think that they should just take one from, you know, from schooling from Primavera or someone that plays in Italy that has a, you know, they can be a little bit more consistent, because I think it's bad that, you know, we spend so much money on the left backs and the right backs, and, you know, they flop and they come in with high regards, but it doesn't work. So in my humble opinion, I don't think that Cedric is going to hold up. You know, people say that, oh, but he benched Cancelo in the national team, but that's a whole other thing. If you look play for play, Cancelo,
yeah,
he doesn't stand a chance against Cancelo. Cancelo is a much better right back.
Without question.
I don't think that Cedric is someone. If the kid, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's a world class right back. He's even better than Cedric and Cancelo. And we have just haven't seen him yet. And in a month or two, we will just, you know, be kissing his feet or whatever. But of what I've seen, I think it's a waste of money. Plus, I think the priorities for Inter should be something a bit more centralized, central midfielders of class, central midfielders, and, you know, start getting all the dead meat off, like, you know, Gabigol and João Mário and players that you don't want to use anyway. So yeah.
And a lot of this is going to be dependent on who the next manager is, if in fact Inter makes a change, which those conversations are really starting to heat up.
Yeah.
And not so much with Conte, but more with Allegri, which is kind of interesting. But, I don't know where I'm at with that. I don't know where I'm at with, if Inter doesn't make the Champions League, Spalletti's out. And if he's not out, then I'll be absolutely stunned. I will be shocked.
I think that he's out anyways.
I think he is too. I think he's out too. I don't think it matters. I think he's done. But to kind of dovetail that into talk about Mauro Icardi, and I don't want to take a ton of time on Mauro Icardi. We've already talked this to death. Yeah. But the thought that either Conte or Allegri have told Inter or anyone of that matter that they'll only come to Inter if Mauro Icardi stays is the most asinine thing I think I've ever seen. I saw that and I saw that from Juan Denara, and I'm like, what?
Listen, huh? here's a hot take, right? Okay, so let me ask you this. So let's say that these managers have made that, you know, said that to Inter, right? So, but Inter then says, okay, that's fine, but we will give you, I don't know, maybe Dybala instead. We will give you Toni Kroos and Dybala instead. I don't know. So if in a logical terms, you would rather have one great poacher instead of two world-class
one world-class midfielder and one world-class number 10 Trek Artista player. I think that, you know, it has been taken a little bit out of proportion. I think that if Allegri and Conte have said these things, you know, it's in terms of that Icardi is a very good player, and they might have requested that he stays, or in those terms.
Yeah. They may have weighed in and said, okay, look, if you guys can fix it, that's great. If not, you know, that's your business. It is what it is. But I don't know that they would say, okay, I only take the job if you have Mauro Icardi on staff. And that, to me, that's just, if that's the case, then no.
Conte makes those demands. Conte actually makes those demands. In Chelsea, he did actually made those demands to.
And it's not because. And it's not because I think that Mario Icardi should go. I think he probably will. It's not because of that at all. I just think that that's just kind of an odd claim to make, because, you know, if Inter sell Icardi in the summer, and it just appears more and more likely that's going to happen, then you're going to have an infusion of money to spend in the transfer market, because a team like Real Madrid, who is now more desperate than they ever have been for a player that can attack and one up Karim Benzema, you know, Icardi looks good to them, and I think they're going to be willing to spend money to make that happen, and they have money to spend, so Inter should take full advantage of that. I don't think Manchester United can pony up. I don't think the family is gonna pay money for that. They need to get their manager situation. They need to get their manager situation sorted out. And to be honest with you, I love Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I honestly, I'm not a Manchester United fan, but I like him. I don't like him as much as Jurgen Klopp, but I like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But
you know, people with personality, basically. I do. So Allegri, I understand why you don't like Allegri, because Allegri is a corporate type of guy in a sense.
It's not that I don't like Max Allegri. I think he has. He has done phenomenal things at Juventus, but a large part of that is because Juventus has spent a lot of money to give him the pieces to play. And I think it just about, I mean, Pioli could do it. Spalletti could do it. You go up and down and find me a manager in Serie A of any of the other 19 teams in the top flight, and even some in Serie B, who couldn't do the same thing with Juventus that Max Allegri has done with them.
Spalletti, because he's on 4-2-3-1.
Ronaldo rides the pine.
Exactly.
I'm actually kind of encouraged by the possibility of a Paulo Dybala. I think there's a lot of potential to build this Inter team up and to be good and still be young. And Dybala would fit that very well. That said, Romelu Lukaku would as well. I know there's not a lot of Inter fans that are probably really keen on Lukaku at the moment, but after what he did over the weekend,
I think in Serie A, actually, Lukaku fits very well, because he is a Zlatan type of player in a sense of his physique. So I think that he will be very dominating in that part. And the thing is this, you know, when it comes to big teams, Inter actually plays good. It's the smaller teams that Inter has a problem with. And Lukaku is actually good against the smaller teams. So it could be a win-win for us, because we can be more consistent.
I don't know. And it just kind of depends on how much money Suning is willing to give Inter to spend. And I think a lot of that's going to hinge on who the manager is at the end of the during the transfer season. And is it Spalletti? Is it someone else? I think there's going to be a lot hinging on that. So it's easy now to raise conjecture and to say, okay, Inter's going to go after Paulo Dybala, or they're going to go after Lukaku, or they're going to go for Edin Dzeko, or insert name here, or Mario Balotelli, if you want to just get real funny about it. It's easy to make that conjecture, but honestly, until there is a settling of who the manager is, there's no way to say who Inter will go after, because we may bring in a manager that Dybala doesn't fit well with, or that Lukaku doesn't fit well with.
Then you suck as a manager. If you can't,
and then you're, if
you can't play someone like Dybala in a team where you can actually use him in a sense. You know, there's something wrong with you. I'm sorry, bro. Like, you know, he's so versatile. He has such great technique and vision. So, you know, you can always find a place for a player like him. Sure, not every game, but, you know, he's such a good player. But with that being said, rumors actually has it too that Marotta isn't so keen on keeping Asulio as a sporting director, and he actually wants to replace him with Empoli's general director, whose name is Piccini. And Piccini is actually the guy that found players like Patrick Schick and Milan Škriniar, even Mauro Icardi. All of these players actually were scouted by Piccini, who is the general director of Empoli today. And rumors has it that Asulio actually is going to go to Roma.
Monchi,
because Monchi might take the job at Arsenal. So he might
at Arsenal, And that's fine. I mean, I Pierre Auxilio did great things when Suning cut the purse strings and said, okay, you can bring in players, but you can't really spend any money. He structured deals that were
amazing,
that were well done, that were
He's
well done and prevented and had very little risk for Inter on the financial side and even on the pitch. However, I think moving forward, since Inter is going to should break free of financial fair play issues, and should be able to start being more active in the transfer market, maybe it's time to get fresh faces into the front office to suggest that, maybe we become a little more aggressive in the transfer window.
Milinkovic-Savic, what you heard it first. Milinkovic-Savic is coming, Rakitic is coming, and Messi is coming. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
None of those three are really palatable at this point, I don't think.
I think Rakitic here and Milinkovic-Savic.
Rakitic, I think those two. And I know Messi... only because Ronaldo poked at him, Barcelona is never going to unload of Messi anytime soon.
Rumors has it that Manchester City, a few years back, actually gave him a blank contract and told Messi that
How much you want.
Yeah, it's not a problem. You just write how much you want.
I believe that as much as I believe Napoli offering Mauro Icardi $11 million per season.
Ah, come on. Yeah, paying that as a transfer fee. He's not going to pay that.
Exactly. He can barely afford his Christmas party. $11 million per year? Yeah,
That would actually amaze me. If Napoli buys Icardi, that will actually surprise me a lot. I'm just saying it right now. I don't think that's going to happen, but
Napoli fans if that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too.
The money came from.
Imagine someone like Wanda Nara and Icardi actually playing in that, South Italy, Napoli, and with all the controversy that comes with Icardi. They will kill that poor dude, man.
It will be awful. I was going to say, it'll be fun for us as Inter fans to watch it, but it'll be awful for all parties involved. And I think the same would go for Juventus. I just don't see Turin accepting Icardi. I don't know that Juventus spends the money for that kind of drama. Granted, they spent the money on Cristiano Ronaldo, and he's got a little baggage. So
You know what the difference is? The difference in this case is that we all accuse Icardi and Wanda of doing this and that. The problem is that it was badly handled from the beginning when he came to Inter. So this is not a problem that he fundamentally maybe started. It's just something.
Yeah, this has been over years. You don't promise someone the captain's armband and then they stick with it, you just don't do that. That was just a poor management at the time for whomever made that decision.
So, and the thing is that if he comes to Juve, there's a little bit of a different thing because they have a lot of leaders and players that are much, much, much bigger than he is in terms of commercial success and sporting success. He might be – that could actually be a humbling experience for him because he can focus on the things that he is good at.
I don't think he'll do that. I think he'll look at a Real Madrid situation where he can come in and be the hero and maybe even get the captain's armband right away be the savior. I think he'll look at that as much more advantageous than going to Juventus and being overshadowed by at least four or five players.
Madrid will eat him and just chew him and just spit him out. I don't think people really understand.
Neither does Icardi. He doesn't understand that. He doesn't know that.
The magnitude of some of these clubs, it's unlike Inter. Inter is just on slow mode right now because Inter is one of the biggest clubs in the world. But when you come to the, you know, the Madrids of the world, I mean, I don't care how good or bad you are, you know, certain things just, you know, if Perez doesn't like you, you can rot on the bench. He doesn't care two shits about that. So
I think that
if Icardi played in a team like Juve, he will probably focus on things that he's very good at. So I think that he will actually do okay, but I don't know if he would do so well, but I think that he would do quite okay at Juve. I would think that would be blocked very, very fast because of the personalities and the players that is in that locker.
I think the problem is Icardi will come off the bench, and that's where the problem will be. That's where he'll have an issue. But we need to probably cut this a little bit short. But I don't know. I mean, I'm frankly tired of writing and talking about it. So I just kind of, you know, whatever. But here's a thought, and I don't want an answer to this question. In fact, I even would like to hear kind of what some of our listeners have to say about it. But I just came into my head. What do you think? And again, keep your answer to yourself. We'll talk about this next podcast. But what do you think about Gareth Bale coming to Inter? If he is subsequently, you know, let go from Real Madrid, I just want to toss it out there. Just something for discussion, something to think about. I mean, you can immediately say no, but in the comments below, I want to hear what people have to say about it. And I'm not saying that I would advocate it or be against it. I just want to know what other people say, because this is a player that is clearly out of favor in Madrid. He's not winning any friends in Madrid at all. Neither with the club nor with the fans or with the media, but he has a great striking ability. So just think about it. Think when you look at all the potential options that Inter has to bring in for a striker. I just want to toss that out there and get kind of feedback from everyone and be thorough. And again, don't cuss me. I'm not saying it should happen. I'm asking the question. I'm looking for fodder. I'm not giving you my opinion yet. But I want you to think, and Sam, think about it too. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think about Gareth Bale coming to Serie A and playing for Inter in a striking capacity? So think about that. No, don't say anything. Okay. Keep a lid on it. with that, we're gonna cut it loose. Remember, we've got Eintracht Frankfurt coming up on Thursday. That's a 12:55 kickoff on the East Coast this weekend. It is the mighty, mighty Warriors from Spal. That should be a good one. We didn't really get a lot of time to talk about that, but that's okay. Probably don't need to talk about it too much. And then, of course, next week, the second leg of the fixture with Eintracht Frankfurt a week from Thursday and then progressing on from there. So that is where we'll leave you. Appreciate it. Again, make sure you listen to us here. I'm not really sure the mothership, as I call SB Nation. They are kind of responsible for getting our stuff on iTunes and all that good stuff. So I'm not sure if it's there yet or not. I'll have to check and see. But make sure you listen. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Let us know any topics you want us to discuss, anything like that. And with that, Sam, I appreciate the time. And we'll certainly be back on next week.
Yes.
Where we'll talk about Frankfurt. We'll talk about Spal. We'll talk about a ton of other things and answer the question, would Gareth Bale be a good fit for Inter Milan? I leave you with that. I leave you to picture that and ponder that and let that consume the rest of your week. So leave a comment down below. And for that, we appreciate you. Sam Poor, I'm Matt Clark. You've been listening to the Serpents of Inter podcast. Forza Inter.
Forza Inter.
Il gioco di gambe, guadagna al fondo, il cross, e gol, 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 Dambro, Dambro, Dambro. Palla ancora dentro l'area di rigore, c'è un mischione, Nainggolan, e gol, e gol, e gol, e gol, e gol, il Ninja, il Ninja, jump, 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 al 32.
The Serpents of Inter podcast is brought to you on the SB Nation Network. For more information and to check out all Inter Milan news all the time, make sure to log on to serpentsofmadadena.com.